Welcome to the Local Spotlight Show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. Today, I have with me a guest. He's not a real big guy, but you might want to watch it because he can handle himself and also cut your hair at the same time. Welcome, Jimmy Hill. Welcome, Jimmy.
Hey, how are you doing?
Doing good. I was getting my hair cut the other day. We were talking. I said, hey, why don't you come on the Spotlight Show? Because, I mean, you've been a barber for how many years?
In Jerseyville for probably about 17 and a half, but all together for close to about 33.
Now, were you a kid? Were you cutting hair? You know,
my
like for your
members,
friends and stuff?
My family members and friends were some barbers and beauticians, and I've always been intrigued, and I kind of, when I was 16, 17 years old, I went and bought myself a set of clippers and started cutting my own friends' hair.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where it started.
Yeah. And you're also, you're an artist, right?
Yeah. I mean, I've always been big into art.
Yeah, an art, and you've been a tattoo artist.
Yeah, I've been a tattoo artist from 96 to 2002. Kind of still hit and miss here and there. Would do them every once in a while. But now that I'm much older, I'm getting back into it and really loving it.
Okay. And you've also, you were a high school wrestler and you're a cage fighter, been a cage fighter.
Yeah.
You still cage fight?
No, I still train here and there for the more physical aspect of it. But I did it for about 13 years. I was a 3-year state wrestler. Those have always been my type of sports and everything. I love the other sports, football, baseball and all that, but mixed martial arts and martial arts, has always been my passion. I got it from my dad. My dad's 69 and he still is a martial artist to this day.
Yeah. So we'll get into some haircutting, but let's just talk a little bit about cage fighting. All right. Let's go back. What years? You were in the Marines.
Yes.
It's also, so you got, when did you go in the Marines? Right out of high school?
Right out of high school. It was much needed. I was one of those kind of rebellious,
high-strung
kids. Oh, yes. Always getting in fights, and my mom told me one day I better do something. And so, luckily, a Marine recruiter came to our high school and talked to him, and he told me what I wanted to hear. And went to Marine Corps out of high school.
Yeah, so how long were you in there?
Four years.
4 years, yeah.
I was infantry. I just, like I said, I've always been in more of the aggressive type things, and how much more aggressive can you get in Marine Corps?
So did you really enjoy the Marine Corps?
Oh, yeah. It's definitely a young man's thing to do. I really enjoyed it. I mean, got to see things and experience things, and it was well worth it.
So whenever you got out of the Marines, is that when you started cage fighting?
No, I started actually traditional martial arts with my dad, and always learned from him, and then I got into kickboxing, and about 6 months to a year right before I left for the Marine Corps, I turned pro in kickboxing and went to Marine Corps. And then after I got in Marine Corps, I proceeded to start training. And
in the cage fighting, you match up with someone close to your weight, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a weight class. What weight class were you?
I was bantamweight, 135.
Okay.
Yeah. I wrestled at 145, or I fought at 145 a couple of times, but just wasn't my weight division.
Uh-huh.
I needed much lighter much lighter and much faster.
Well, so. What's the strategy as far as cage fighting goes?
Not to get hit.
Just avoid.
Choked out.
You
can go in there. Usually your first couple of fights, you go in with a game plan, but it just, your adrenaline takes over. And so, but as you get more knowledge of the sport, you get better and better, and you pretty much stick to your game plan.
But anything goes in cage fighting, right? Is
pretty
there
much.
Anything
they
can't do?
Well, yeah, you can't, headbutt, you can't groin hit, bite and stuff like
no
that.
Biting.
Eye gouge.
No eye gouges.
Like
yeah.
You know, I mean, it's more or less a mixture of wrestling, kickboxing, Muay Thai, jiu-jitsu. I mean, yeah.
I'm going to ask you, what do you know your record? What you when you were a kid?
Yeah, I was 12-3.
12-3. All right. Well, you did pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It was pretty fun.
Yeah. And so you were a professional, so you actually got paid for it.
Yeah. You get a percentage. You don't really make it the big money until you hit like the bigger organizations, you know, like WEC or UFC and stuff like that. But when you're a pro, you're still a pro like they are, but they're just a different caliber fighter and they get paid a lot more than we
now,
did.
When you were growing up as a kid, like of course you wrestled did you find yourself getting into scraps? I mean, why do you think, because I got to figure that you got into a lot of scraps.
Yeah, but I got a lot of them because, I mean, I was picked on as a kid because I've always been short in height. So, I mean, I always got picked on. And finally, I just took a stand and said, I'm not going to get picked on anymore.
How old were you?
I was pretty much right around junior high.
Junior high? Now, yeah. Your dad had taught you how to fight, right?
Yeah.
So you knew the martial arts.
Yeah.
So you kind of knew what moves to make.
Yeah, know how to defend myself, how to block theirs, and go straight for one thing, and usually.
Well, what happened? What happened out on the playground? The first thing that you remember, like, you know what? I think I can handle myself. You got a short story.
Well, I came back after the summer of learning and more in depth than I was, I kind of came back to the bully that was
seventh
bullying
grade?
Me. And
you were seventh grade?
It was eighth grade whenever I
So what happened?
Took on the bully and whooped him and I kind of got suspended the first day I went back to school.
Your first day of school, your number one thing is, okay, I'm waiting for that bully, whoever his name.
Yeah. Which my parents told me that morning not to do anything, but to defend myself if he was to.
So what did he do?
He would taunt me and like the old high school shoulder shrug or slap me or thump my ear or whatever.
How much bigger was he than you?
It wasn't the fact that he was like bigger in height. He was a very muscular, younger guy. I think it was more genetics. And a lot of people was intimidated by him.
Uh-huh.
And so I was like, I guess I...
The time was right.
Time was right.
You're ready. So you took him out right off the bat?
Oh, I put a whooping on him. Yeah.
Did you have a good crowd, you know, watching?
Yeah,
you?
There was quite a few. And a lot of people was patting me on my back saying at least somebody stood up to him finally.
Yeah.
You know, because everybody was scared of him. He was a very intimidating kid.
Yeah.
I mean, very tough kid, you know, but I just strike a lot faster than he did and harder than he did. And I didn't stop striking until they pulled me off of him.
So after that, he didn't bother you anymore, did he?
No. I saw him some years later, and it looked like he took another beating from life. So, I mean, I would only wish that upon nobody. But, I think karma got him.
Yeah. So how'd you get into being a tattoo artist?
Well, I've always been big in art. My dad used to doodle. You know, and draw and all that. And he kind of got me started into it. And I had a cousin, actually two of my cousins were artists, and they got me more involved in it and just kind of went from there.
Yeah. What are the basics? I know there's a lot of people out there that have tattoos, but there's some that don't, you know. My question is, I guess, tell us a little bit about tattoos. It seems like it's really caught on as in the last years, you know, compared to 20 years ago, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it used to be just, you'd see people with tattoos, they come, out of the service and they'd have a tattoo, especially the Navy. But what happened to make tattoos grow so much like that?
It's just the whole tattoo industry has changed tremendously from 30, 40, 50 years ago. Back then, a lot of the tattoos you saw were for military,
right?
Like you said, and then everybody just started getting really into them, and it's just progressively gotten bigger. It's changed so much.
A lot of women are into tattoos.
Oh yeah, it's all ages now.
Yeah,
I mean, I've even know some that are in their 60s, 70s, and 80s that get tattoos or have gotten their first tattoo. You know, and back then you were kind of discriminated by or judged by your that you had a lot of tattoos. You know, now it's more acceptable to this day because everybody gets them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's beautiful art, I mean, that you put on your body. I mean.
And doesn't it kind of hurt, though, to get a tattoo?
It does in most places. I'm going to tell you, like, what everybody that we would tell as tattoo artists is it's like an irritating bee sting, you know?
It's like a bee sting?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you don't have to be drunk, though, to get a tattoo.
No, it's not the smartest thing because you bleed a lot.
Oh, you
with
do.
Alcohol in your system.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, some people don't as much, but yeah, it's not a very smart thing. And plus, by the next morning, you might regret what you got, you know.
Yes. If you're just joining us now, I have Jimmy Hill with us, the local barber at 212 South State Street. And we're talking about cage fighting and him as a Marine and tattooing and all that good stuff. So as far as tattooing goes, you were a tattoo artist for a few years. Okay.
Yeah.
And you were telling me that there's good money in tattooing.
Oh, there is great money. It's not as like it was when I first started, but now, I mean, you can get, for one setting, you can get anywhere to $1,500, $2,000 on up for one setting.
Like, I see a lot of sleeves, okay? Yeah. If I was to get an extensive sleeve, what would that cost
me? That could run, which depends on the artist, but I'd say probably around $5,000.
Oh.
Easily.
Whoa.
You know, and depending on how much color and detail it is.
I see. Now, you grew up Missouri, back and forth between Missouri and South Carolina as a kid. We had talked before, you know, before the interview. And how did you end up getting to this area?
Well, like you said, I moved always back and forth because I had one parent lived in South Carolina and the other lived in Missouri, and I always moved back and forth. I was kind of one of them kids.
Yeah.
That kind of got in trouble here and there,
you
know.
You get in trouble at one school, they ship you over.
Well, I didn't like it at one parent, so I go to the other, you know. Mm-hmm. But I moved here from South Carolina back in 2000, my brother, he lived here in Illinois, and he found out that I was close by, and he wanted me to come live with him, and I've been here ever since.
Where did he live?
He lived in Hardin.
Okay. So you first came to Hardin?
That was the first town.
Yeah.
Needless to say, I wasn't very welcome.
You weren't?
No. It's a cliquish town.
Well, you were new.
I was the new guy.
Yeah,
you're
the new guy.
And everybody wanted to see what I was about or see how.
I hope they didn't pick on you. I hope you didn't have to clean somebody's clock.
No, came close to it.
Yeah,
the local town bad boy, as I call it, kind of called me out.
Yeah.
Found out that I was a fighter and wanted to see how well he would stand up.
Oh, that
me.
Happens.
It never happened though.
Okay.
I mean, I was much smarter than that, you know.
Yeah.
And I saw him a couple of years later, and he found out that I really did fight, and he was like, I think I probably would have got my butt kicked, but. Yeah,
probably. Now, you've been a barber. What made you want to go to barber school? I know you're an artist, you know, a tattoo artist, but I guess I know with you, when you cut hair, you are an artist when you cut hair. I've told you that a couple times, you know, but what drew you to cutting hair?
Just as we say, kind of like to beautify America. I mean, just, I've always been intrigued. Like I said, I had family members and friends that were barbers and beauticians, and I was always intrigued by it. I thought it was kind of cool, and so I got into it and realized that my artistic skill helped me out tremendously in barbering, you know, because you, in art, you see the finished picture
before. Right.
And same thing with when I cut hair is that I already know what the finished product is.
That's cool. Now, where'd you go to barber school at?
I went to Missouri School of Barbering and Hairstyling over in off of Lindbergh in Missouri.
Okay. I know a lot of young people I've been talking to in the last couple of years have told me they're going to barber school. Seems like that's becoming pretty popular.
And it excites us that's been doing it for a long time, because barbering is we're a dying breed. You know what I mean? There's more cosmetologists or stylists or beauticians than there is barbers anymore, you know? But there's a lot of the younger guys, a couple of younger guys that I know are going to barber school.
Yeah.
And I think that's just pretty awesome that they want to do something I've been doing for this many years.
Yeah. Now you got two chairs in your shop, but you're the only one in there.
I'm the only one. I'm a one man show. I used to have another barber there for about 6.5 years, and he departed due to family problems with his parents and everything, and he had to move out of state. And so I'm there by myself now.
Okay. What are some of the cool cuts? What are some cuts that you've seen coming on that people are getting today that they weren't getting like 5 years ago?
Well, I mean, I try to stay in up to date on all the new styles and everything. There's a lot of them. They found out that I do designs in hair and your hair.
Designs?
Like art designs.
Yeah.
Like if you want a Batman symbol or...
You can do that on my head?
Oh, yeah. Most definitely.
Where do you...
I've been doing it for a long time. It kind of started back whenever I was cage fighting. I had friends found out that I cut hair, and they asked me, could I put any logos on their hair? And so
where do they usually
I started
put
giving
them
it a try. Usually on the sides or back, you
okay.
know. I've had a few that I did the whole head.
Okay. So I guess if I needed like WJBM cut on the side of my head,
sure
you could do it.
Oh yeah.
And then 104.7 FM 1480
Definitely
on the
other side. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Maybe I'll get Craig to do it. I have Craig. I'll pay for Craig's haircut. We'll get him.
Yeah.
What other trends? What's some trends that you've seen happen lately? You know, I just see some different haircuts. I don't even know what you call them, but
honestly, a lot of the old style haircuts are coming back.
Yeah.
I do a lot of mullets now. And that was more of an 80s.
Explain a mullet.
You know? Well, it's a business in the front, party in the back,
what
as
is
they
it?
Put it. It's where the sides are kind of shaved or faded, and then you have long hair in the back, and you take the top and they'll either spike it or they'll comb it to the side really short, and like I said, kind of a business cut in the front, party in the back.
Okay, I got you.
Kind of the Billy Ray Cyrus type deal.
Okay, yeah, that's the mullet. Okay,
yeah.
Well, what's what else you got as far as styles that you see?
It's a lot of people do like taper fades or skin fades, and that's where you just kind of fade to the skin, to the sides, and fade it up to the top. And I mean, that's more ongoing, you know, but they kind of go here and there with different things. Either they want it parted to the side, or they want it like a faux hawk, which is like a long haired mohawk, or, you know, it's kind of stuff like that. They always do a fade with it though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think, you know, fades won't ever die.
Okay. What do you like about being a barber? What do you enjoy?
The conversation with and getting to know my customer and as well as they get to know me, you know, I mean, we build a relationship, and usually 9 times out of 10, they come in. I don't even have to ask them what they want anymore. You know, I mean, I already know, and they like that.
Yeah.
You know, unless they haven't had a haircut in 6 months to a year, then, you know, but I have a pretty good memory on anybody who comes in the shop.
Okay. What are, for those people out there that are looking to get their hair cut, what are the busiest times for you? Okay, as far as a year goes, you can name probably the top three or four busy days where it's really busy.
I would say probably Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Okay, but I'm talking about specific times of year, like Thanksgiving, Christmas.
Oh, most definitely. I would say probably around the more holidays like Thanksgiving and Christmas, and usually right around New Year's Eve or Valentine's Day is the biggest times.
Okay.
Especially Christmas and Thanksgiving. Because everybody takes pictures.
I see. In your shop, okay, what is the most people you've had waiting to get their hair cut?
Oh, I've probably had anywhere between 25 in there.
And 25 people?
Yeah, almost definitely. Especially them standing there just waiting, you know, for somebody else to get up so they could take their chair, you know.
So is this like around Christmas time or something?
Yeah, usually. During the summertime, it gets really packed in there too. I mean, a lot of them will bring their kids in on the weekend, and I'll have at least 20 kids in there with their parents.
Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah.
That's crazy.
And I actually use my other barber chair as a waiting chair because I don't have anybody else to cut with me. So it's just me.
Are you in the market to have another barber join you?
I've actually thought about it. I've had a couple of, people come in and cut, just as I say, guest barbers come in and cut.
You know what? I've always wanted to be a barber for a day or two. So could I just come in and cut hair in the other?
No, you got to have a license.
Now, how many hours of training do you have to do that?
1,500 is accumulated hours in a barber school.
In a barber school.
Yeah, and you can either, after you get done, you take a test to pass the school, but then you have to go take your state test, either for Missouri or Illinois.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Jimmy, believe it or not, we've ran out of time. We'll have to end. Do you have anything that you want to end on? You got anything that you want to share or holler out to anybody?
I want to tell everybody that supports me and my customers. I try to treat most of my customers like family and have that family experience, you know, that feeling when they enter my shop.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that they don't have to be so wound tight, that they can come in here and feel themselves, you know, and that's what I'm all about, is giving that family vibe, you know.
Well, Jimmy Hill, I think Hall from my bartender, his name, they've got a few Halls running around, but Jimmy Hill, 212 South State Street, your local barber. Glad to have you in, Jim.
I appreciate it. Thank you.